This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary Number 25B. We're in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. We're on page 95. We are discussing the Cosmic Fire references to the path to Sirius. We're talking about cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss. These are such evocative words to be achieved by the Chohan who treads this path. And how is it achieved? Well, it's a form of identification which is divorced from consciousness altogether. So merging of identities and a merging, let's call it a merging in being. So it's not a question of knowing about it, it's a question of becoming it. A question of becoming being. Well, what can we say about it until we are closer to the Chohanship, and unless we were on that particular path? The reason why the majority of the sons of men follow this path lies in the fact of its numerical position. It is the fourth. And so we learn that the numbering of the cosmic paths is not without significance. The third path is approached through the Mahachohan's department. That department is the third, is it not? The second path has a great number of, well, not only fifth-ray monads, but of second-ray types, because the great attractive second-ray energy and the law of attraction are so prominent. But does this mean that the first path has largely those who have a strong first ray? Well, it would correlate with the monadic ray of the of our planetary logos, but I think that types on all the ray paths are required because the seven ashrams, on the path of Earth service, we have to work in relation to the seven ashrams, and all the ray types are needed. So the reason why the majority of the sons of men follow this path lies in the fact of its numerical position. These units of the fourth kingdom, the bulk of the fourth creative hierarchy on this fourth globe, of the fourth scheme in a solar system of the fourth order are innately compelled to seek this fourth way in order to, and there's that word, perfect themselves. There's that word. And we know how often the word perfect or perfection is related to the number four and to the fourth ray. Such a six and four combination in a way. And yet, you know, they're there for what the luminous fifth ray soul, I presume it to be the soul of Sirius, can confer in so that they can become sparks of mahatic electricity. So the rounding out process does go on throughout cosmos. Now, we're not really told here. It says they are innately compelled. I mean, the number itself, is that what compels them? We're not given other reasons why. Just numerical resonance. We are not given other reasons why this is the case. Only the reason which seems to depend on that looks like another good one. Trying to save myself time. Numerical resonance. I do mention that so often, that we can connect to other spheres and locales which are characterized by the same number as the one from which we are connecting. So then we'd have to ask, you know, what about the fifth path? Are we going to find fifth ray souls on it? It's not really ray paths. Are we going to find a strong mentality, a strong discriminative mentality upon that? When it comes to the sixth path of solar logoi, somehow will the qualities of devotion and idealism be important? Well, we know with the seventh path that alchemy, which is the science of the seventh ray, is very important. So there a ray quality tells us something about those who tread that particular path. So these paths are not ray paths, and all different ray types can tread them, but there tend to be preponderances of ray types, usually from the point of view of the monad, that tread a number of these paths, if not all. Okay, so the numerical position, fourth path, fourth kingdom, fourth globe, fourth chain, fourth round, fourth scheme from the sun, solar system of the fourth order, of course that would affect others as well, on different planets. The order of the solar system will not change, no matter what planet we may be involved in. Even on a planet which does not have as many fours going as does the Earth at this time. They are called, Chohans are called blissful dancing points of fanatical devotion. Well, the blissful part, either four or six, the dancing points, the four, the fanatical devotion, the six, again, so much so much emphasis upon the fourth ray and the sixth ray. So I'm trying to get my bracket back, right? So much emphasis upon the fourth and sixth rays. So, you know, the Lord of the Dance, I was just, I remember this wonderful experience I had, you know, watching River Dance. Maybe some of you have seen that or versions of it. It's Irish dance, and of course the fourth ray is tremendous in Ireland. And I'm thinking about how much the fourth ray is involved in the dance, along with the first ray, of course. And the rhythm that they managed to bring out was tremendous as well, the seventh ray. When you have fourth ray and the seventh ray, DK tells us that we have art in excelsis. These are the two practically artistic rays. So we human beings that travel that way in a state of increasing bliss leading to cosmic rapture, we dance in rhythm. And our fanatical devotion keeps us doing that. It looks like we are very one-pointedly intent on reaching that goal and staying on that particular path. And you kind of wonder, I mean, those well-equipped with the fourth and sixth ray will travel this path. Fourth and sixth rays will travel this path. What about those on the second ray? Well, to an extent, I would think so. But not so much those on the fifth ray, because or third ray, maybe they already have what is to be there conferred. But the conferral of Manus, I think, can only be one small part of the possible conferrals coming from Sirius. So this is as near as we can get to the true description, says DK. They also have been described as revolving wheels which turn upon themselves and find the open door to perfect bliss. Well, they say on Sirius, what we would call perfect bliss awaits us. And the revolving wheels which turn upon themselves, well, this has something to do, again, with the number four. These revolving wheels express fourth dimensionality. The chakras turn upon themselves in a fourth dimensional manner. when initiation occurs. And fourth dimensionality, we've been told, is achieved by certain chakras at the first degree, and other chakras maybe on the astral plane at the second degree, and maybe some mental chakras at the third degree, and so forth. But it indicates a state of perfection. Fourth dimensional rotation indicates a state of perfection. Well, it seems that perfection is what Sirius is all about. And its fourness leads to that. And of course, when you look at some of the Egyptian rites and their hieroglyphics, there's such a tremendous order and also color and suggesting archetypal perfection. So Sirius is a very demanding energy. I mean, those who travel that road may be blissful in dancing, but it has to be accomplished in perfect rhythm. Dancing accomplished in the perfect rhythm which the archetype suggests. And anything less is a dissonance and not blissful. When there is dissonance, or at least when the consciousness is overly preoccupied with dissonance, then there will not be the bliss. There may be what others would call dissonance, but when consciousness is in the unity and the dissonance has no effect upon it, then there can be the bliss. Okay. The energy of Path 4 reaches Sirius via the sun, via our sun. This must be understood as a blind behind which one of the signs of the zodiac veils itself. Now there is a kind of line, Sirius, Leo, Jupiter. That is one of the important, very solar triangles involving Sirius, and promises us a great growth and expansion of our sense of identity. And notice he is using the well, what can I call it? The part for whole blind. Maybe this, part for whole blind. That would be a neat thing to make. I've talked about this before, though, where you use the part. Okay, I don't want that. Plain text. I don't want that either. So we'll just put this here. Part for whole blind, and spell it out. Part for whole blind. I suppose there could also be the whole for part blind. And one day I have to assemble these different kinds of blinds that the masters used, and that we can find DK using, and maybe we can be more alert to when we are being blinded and how to overcome the blind. Let me try this one. I know it's a little odd, but let's do that. And probably not occurring as often. Whole for part blind. Okay, this would be the whole for part blind. It's as if, you know, when we perhaps would mention Orion, we would really be meaning Betelgeuse. And the part for whole blind, when we mention Betelgeuse, we would really be meaning Orion. Here in this case, we are mentioning the sun, and we ask, is Leo, in fact, maybe the constellation of the zodiac which is concerned? Is Leo this constellation? Well, there is a definite connection with Sirius and Leo. Sirius is connected with Gemini. Sirius is connected with Pisces. I suppose I could go down the... It doesn't seem to be connected with Aries. Not with Cancer, but with Leo, yes. And maybe not so much with Virgo. With Libra, I would say so, through the law of karma. With Scorpio, definitely. There is... a triangle, Sirius, Scorpio, Mars. With Sagittarius, not so much. With Capricorn, I would say so, in relation to the solar angels. With Aquarius, well, it's the opposite of Leo. I don't know of anything particular, but the whole idea of the growth of group consciousness would come there with Pisces, yes. So, let me put that down. Sirius would be connected with certain signs of zodiac. Not sure about Taurus, and what would they be? Taurus would bring the light, but with Gemini, Leo, Libra, Scorpio, Capricorn, and maybe Aquarius, but certainly Pisces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 signs, and maybe Aquarius. But not so much of a resonant connection, more just effective in this particular age. But there's a lot of resonance between the other Sirius and the other six signs. The hierarchies concerned with this specific type of cosmic force will hide themselves under the numbers 14 and 17, and, you know, we're going to have to add them together. The numbers up and down. We'll see whether we can do that. He says this will serve as a complete blind to the average reader. Well, to us, maybe just a heavy blind or an incomplete blind, but we'll carry to the pledge chela the hint needed to produce illumination. So if we looked at the creative hierarchies here, and we look here as well, let's see if we can find the numbers that he's speaking of. Hide themselves under the numbers 14 and 17. And so let's look. Maybe we'll find a 14 and a 17 or more than one. When we look over here, here we have a 16. Here, 2 and 4, 6 and 11, well, we have, interestingly, Aries. This Aries totals to 17. Okay, but that I just said and thought that Aries wouldn't be much connected. But the, okay, let's do this. The Aries creative hierarchy, which is the second unmanifested creative hierarchy. So that's a 17. And we'd have to find the way in which that might be the case. I don't think I find any other 17s among the liberated hierarchies. We have 5, 7, 12, and 8 is 20, 20, 19, 18, 17. It's Aries. And then when we move over here, we have three types of numbers to consider. 11 and 6 is 17 and 2, no. 9 and 4 are 13 and 4, 17. Definitely, this is this is creative hierarchy, the human creative hierarchy, definitely. Here is 15 and 3 is 18, so no. So this is 17 for the human creative hierarchy. The okay, and the, what can we call it? The Scorpio creative hierarchy. Also 17, Aries, and so the, what do they call it? Is it unity through effort? Unity through effort, and the initiates or lords of sacrifice. So what is the quality here? unity through effort, and the initiates or lords of sacrifice. Okay, so much for the number 14. We're on the path to Sirius, and of course it's the human creative hierarchy that is treading this path particularly. But now we also have those who do not need to tread the path, and they are the Aries creative hierarchy. They have long ago trodden such paths, and as their exalted Kumaric condition shows. Now let's find a 14 if we can. A 14, okay. And here it will be, I don't think in the unmanifested creative hierarchies we do not find a 14. We find the very first one, if we add all three together, a kind of 16. So even the first one is 4 and 12, it's a 16, it's not a 14, so we'll have to descend into the manifested creative hierarchies and see what we can find. Well, the very first one is 7 and 7, that's a 14. The next one is 9 and 6 is a 15, so this is going to be the divine flames. Under 14 we find only the divine flames, and that makes a lot of sense as well, because it's a Leo hierarchy, and it's very, Leo is a constellation closely related to Sirius. So find a 14, that would be divine flames, or numbers 1, 6, and 7. 7 up, 6 down, and 1 beginning with the manifest creative hierarchies. So Sirius, the path to Sirius, and this Leo hierarchy, ruled perhaps by Uranus, and connected to the cosmic astral plane, we are told, and supplying life to the lesser beings, and the Leo connection is definitely there. The 1 and the 4, well, take a look. 1 plus 4 equals 5. And so there's the monastic pyramidal connection. And that's 1 plus 4. Now the numbers 6, see, 1 plus 14, 17. The 1 plus 4, I see. So maybe I don't know how we'll do this with the 6. 1 plus 4, that's 14. 1 plus, this will work. 1 plus 7 equals 8. All right. Equals 8. And this is a Christ number closely connected with Sirius, and Mercury, the 8, is the star of Sirius. And there's some kind of, the 8 is the Antikorana and the linking of two ways. I think we can see the 8 is a vertical Ajna number. Okay, so, well, there's more to it, obviously, but at least we were able to see the 14. Let's see, now when it comes to the divine flames, let's just have a quick review on that. We can do this in Cosmic Fire, I suppose. Are there none? Divine flames. Okay. Hierarchy 1. Let's see. Hierarchy. One. There we go. The first great hierarchy is emanated from the heart of the central spiritual sun. So that would be the Christ aspect connected with the cosmic Christ of Sirius. Emanated from the heart. Now, we of the central spiritual sun. So the central spiritual sun, in one respect, can be the head center of the solar logos on the logoic plane. And it can be from one of those, head centers found within that greater head center, that one connected with the heart. It is the Son of God himself. So there's the Christ aspect again, the firstborn in the cosmic sense, even as the Christ was the eldest in the family of brothers. So it's really connected with the heart of the Son and with the heart of the central spiritual Son, and the first flower on the human plant. So there is the connection with the fourth ray, the flowering forth, or the second ray, the unfoldment in flowering, which connects it to the soft line of Sirius. The symbol of the hierarchy is the golden lotus with the 12 petals folded. This whole question about, it's dawning on me as I read this, that just the way the term heart of the sun can mean three different things. It can mean an etheric heart center on the monadic plane, let us say. It can mean an astral heart center on the astral monadic plane. The cosmic astral plane, and I suppose maybe on the monadic aspect of that cosmic astral plane, and it can mean a direct correspondence to the egoic lotus. So in the same way, the term central spiritual sun oftentimes can mean the monad of the solar logos, yes, but it can mean as well the head center, the etheric head center of the solar logos on the logoic plane, where this hierarchy incidentally is found, and it can mean the monadic head center on the cosmic astral plane. And I suppose it would connect with the jewel in the lotus, yes, and within the cosmic astral body, within the cosmic egoic lotus of the solar logos. So central spiritual sun means a number of things. One is etheric, one is cosmic astral. When I say etheric, I mean cosmic etheric, cosmic astral, cosmic mental, and finally cosmic monadic. Now, what have we to do with the cosmic monad? Probably very, very little. And the question is, can the solar angels, as they return, can they go that high? Can any of them return to the central spiritual sun considered in that way? Or can they return to a cosmic astral version of the central spiritual sun, where on their monad is likely to be found. So it gets a little bit intricate, doesn't it? And of course, I'm always correcting myself as I go along. I'm not like Master DK, who knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he knows. He's not necessarily trying to find out as he's writing, which I am trying to do as I'm speaking. Of course, he spoke as well. But he knew the end from the beginning. So he knew whenever he said something that it was strictly accurate. Oftentimes, I speak in a speculative manner and then correct my understanding as I go along. So this a compilation on the central spiritual sun is needed, and we will find that it is not only Alcyone and not only the monad of the solar logos, but it will have to do with head centers of the solar logos as they are found on the cosmic ethers, and even on the within the cosmic astral ethers in the head center portion. We will also find that the egoic lotus of the solar logos is found on the first cosmic subplane of the cosmic mental plane. And that's going to connect also with the head center idea, the central sun of spiritual livingness, as it is described in the first of the stanzas of healing, which are symbolic stanzas in esoteric healing. All right. So the hierarchy is concerned with this specific type of cosmic force, hide themselves under the numbers 14 and 17. So, and we will find under 14 we have Aries, and under, 17 we have Aries, 17 we have Scorpio, and under the number 14 we have Leo. Okay, so the sign Leo is found under the number 14, and certainly, you know, we have seen right, I'm going to put one of those as well. We have seen right. So we have seen that Leo and Scorpio are two very Syrian signs. Not so much Aries in this case, although, as always, connections can be found. The whole idea of the sacrifice of the sun, you know, the lamb slain from the foundations of the world, and the Syrian sacrifice. In that sense, they can be connected. The method whereby the adept fits himself to pass upon this path, and let me get one of those necessary brackets, is termed that of duplex rotary motion, rhythmic dancing upon the square. Well, duplex, I suppose, two types of rotation. We've been told about a symbol for the first solar system, which had two types of green swastika-like rotations. Maybe one was perpendicular to the other. And sometimes we, well, let's see, what was that phrase about turning upon itself? Revolving wheels which turn upon themselves. Okay, I think we can connect, we can connect what's called duplex rotary motion with the revolving wheels turning upon themselves, or which turn upon themselves. Okay, revolving wheels which turn upon themselves. So, that suggests the number four, turning in two directions simultaneously, or turning in opposite directions simultaneously. Samuel, simultaneously. So there has to be some kind of ability here to be synthetic and multidimensional, and to take in the opposites. Ability to reconcile the opposites through making contrary turnings into one synthetic process. Duplex rotary motion and rhythmic dancing upon the square. Should we say rhythmic dancing upon the square, dancing the Syrian, the rhythms of the Assyrian archetype. So, you know, it's getting all the getting all rhythms and cycles coordinated. That's what has to be done. The symbol, which is first given to the pledged disciple to study, but which may, however, be described, is a duality of interlocked wheels revolving at great pace in opposite directions and producing a unified whole. Well, okay, that's pretty much what I was saying, but here there are two wheels. So here there are two wheels and not just one wheel turning upon itself. So somehow the resolutions of the great opposites and contraries are achieved here, which liberates, I believe, bliss when these tensions and dissonances are resolved. These wheels are portrayed as manifesting electric blue flame, rotating and revolving with great rapidity. Electric blue, it's interesting. It's a combination of the first ray and the second, because the term electric, in this case, like electric fire, represents the first. Rotating with great rapidity around an equal armed cross. And they are interlocked. So somehow, the reconciliation of the opposites. The reconciliation of the counterpoles represented by the cross. Equal armed, of course, it's the Aquarian cross, in a way. And the blue, electric blue, I think I just have to say something about that. Electric blue, the combination of the first electric and second rays. And, of course, the second is blue. And we can't forget the devotion of the loyal dog, which Sirius is, and its sixth ray, related also to blue, the loyal dog of Orion. Maybe it gives us something of the proportion between that system and Orion. And, you know, it flashes upon me. We have to find what Orion is. I mean, you know, the solar plexus chases after the heart. That's pretty obvious in a general occult way. So the solar plexus chases after the heart and wants to transfer its energies to the heart. So Sirius and the Sirian system, which is the seven solar systems, chase after Orion as if it were the heart center. So I know that there are problems there with path number 3, and the idea of the solar plexus is pretty pronounced, but there's more, you know, we have to consider this in a wider context, and we have not to mix the stellar and constellational levels. I think that is one of the things which we must avoid, and we must also understand the relationship of the two functioning stars of Sirius, which make of it, in a sense, a dual system or a small constellation, and its relationship to the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. If we could fathom that, and I don't know anybody who's really fathomed that in a way that satisfies me anyway, and I will say that I haven't fathomed that in a way that satisfies myself, but at least to define the questions which need resolution. This is one of the first steps in calling upon or invoking the answer. So we have this duplex rotary motion around an equal-armed cross. The cross is pictured in orange fire with a deep emerald green circle, and it's the, let's call it the cross of matter, and is related to the previous solar system where the colors green and orange were prominent. So an emerald green circle. Now, you know, the emerald green, this is interesting, emerald. This relates it to Venus and the school on Venus. As we will see, there's a symbol involving five emeralds. So this cross is pictured in orange fire with a deep emerald green circle flaming at the point in the center where the forearms of the cross meet. The symbolism of these colors links the fourth path to the solar system preceding this one. Okay, indeed. In that system, Sirian influence was more potent than in the present one. Now, this is saying something about the powerfully monastic nature of Sirius. Yeah, and even though it is representing the cosmic Christ from the point of view of its monadic ray, in the previous system, its monastic aspect was more powerful. We would think, goodness, what a relationship there is between our present solar logos and Sirius, but to think that it was even more so in the previous system. But that wouldn't have been the system of cosmic individualization. Individualization has to occur during a correspondence to the Lemurian period, which is extremely physical. So individualization of our solar logos as a cosmic being, which means, you know, the implantation of a spark of mind from the cosmic mental plane, and not just from the mental plane, would have occurred five systems ago, it seems to me. Well, you know, I do better when I just talk. I know I'm fumbling with the typing and it distracts my train of thought, but some things have to be written down, of course. So we have this duplex rotary motion, and I think we should combine this with the symbol of the first solar system. So we have these two interlocked circles or gears. I almost picture them as interlocked wheels, but you can be interlocked without having a gear interlocking, revolving at great pace in opposite directions. It's kind of, again, the wheel turning on itself, producing a unified whole. Can they be interlocked and revolve in opposite directions? Well, yes, they can. If they, you know, there's kind of a Vesica Pisces, they're overlapping, and, you know, like this. They don't necessarily have to be going around the cross, like so. They can go around the cross together, but being, it's terrible. I should make an animation here. Maybe in the future there will be the possibility of doing that. And which way will they go? Which way around the cross? If they remain interlocked, they cannot separate. If they separate, they're no longer interlocked. They could cross each other, but if they're going to be interlocked, they have to go in the same direction. And will it be counterclockwise, clockwise? And in the center, an orange cross with a green circle with flame. Now, let's link to this the symbol. I pulled that out earlier, the symbol of the first solar system. symbol of first solar system. So let's see how we can arrive at that. I think we have to say symbol solar system swastikas. How do we spell that? Swastika. S. Well, I know there is a swastika. Maybe this is spelled different. S-V-A-S-T-I-C-A? S? S-W-A-S-T-I? Swastika. And with also an S. Swastikas. W-A-S-T-I-C-A-S. Well, I think, oh, it's with a K, that's it. That's what our problem is. Okay. Swastikas. Well, let's see. If we can find this. And the circle divided in four, no, that's not the one. Aha, here it is. Perhaps if we could visualize the swastika of 10 arms revolving at right angles of a radiant green color, all the 10 arms emanating from a central blazing sun, we might have some idea of the thought form that formed the basis of the system one, the activity system. The basic thought form of the second system embodies the green swastika of the first manifestation and adds to it concentric and interlaced circles in blue in groups of three linked by one large circle. Both symbols are in the higher dimensions. Well, okay, that seems reasonable. Treatise on Cosmic Fire, 573. So, TCF 573. Fair enough. And let's put this in green, because we can see that there is a similarity here between the Syrian symbol, the blue and the green, and the blue and the green of a system, the blue of system two linked with the green. They are additive, are they not? We don't get rid of the green, we simply preserve it and add to it the blue. Isn't that so? So it is impossible to do more than sense the symbols of the systems past and present, systems past and present, as I have pointed out, not just the system. Perhaps if we could visualize a swastika of 10 arms revolving at right angles, the 5 and the 10 of the previous system, the 1 and the 3, not so much the 2, of a radiant green color, all 10 arms emanating from a central blazing sun. We might have some idea of the thought form that formed the basis of System 1. Embodies the green swastika of the first manifestation and adds to it concentric and interlaced circles in blue. How can you be concentric and interlaced at the same time? In groups of three, linked by one large circle. The blue is there. I think this, you know, we have an artist associated with our work. His name is Dwayne Carpenter, and he esoteric artist, and he makes some of these higher dimensional drawings. This would be a good one for him, and maybe he's already done this. I can feel that it would attract his interest, I think. I'll have to write him about that. Maybe it's on his Lightweaver website. Anyway, we have the green and the blue combined in the system 2. And when it comes to Sirius, I suppose Sirius as it is now in relation to this system? Which incarnation is this of our cosmic logos anyway? Which incarnation is it? We don't know, but we know it's our second major solar system, and Sirius is having some kind of effect upon us in this system, a very supreme effect, even though more powerful in the end. And the blue is suggesting the cosmic Christ or second ray effect that Sirius is having upon us at this time. It is encircling the orange cross. Interesting, the complementary color there is blue. And the green center, which tells of its relation, with a deep emerald green circle flaming at the point in the center where the four arms of the cross meet. So green is more synthetic in a way than orange. Orange, actually, I think, is much connected to the law of cleavages on the fifth ray, and also to the first ray. It's an exoteric color of the first ray, but orange is a separative color. If you want to stand out, you wear orange particularly. And I'm thinking of how they dress prisoners in orange so that if they try to escape, the only clothes they have are that which will make them stand out and be distinct and separative, separate from the environment. Okay. Now, let's go on a little more. It's so interesting because there's such profound occultism at the root of all of this work. And, you know, the solar systems, in a way, they do occur sequentially as far as I can see, but when the seventh and synthetic solar system occurs, it will be some kind of synthetic summation in which, in the eternal now, of all solar systems. I don't think we can conceive what that will be, but I don't think it will be a separate solar system with a separate star and so forth. It's more a state of synthesis. Of course, when you use the word solar system, it sounds etheric physical, but there are so many contradictions between the seventh solar system and the fact that the next system is the last, and it's the sixth. So you kind of wonder whether on the archetypal level the seventh solar system isn't already occurring, synthesizing the beginning and the end. Well, we have a long time to wait before we enter our seventh solar system, and our idea of time and space would have to be drastically revised. Right now we think sequentially. So a duplex rotary motion, interlocking spheres, revolving rapidly around a central cross. When you revolve around something, you're either subservient to it or you are somehow encircling it. In this case, we have kind of an encirclement, which is making the basic green and orange subsidiary to and bounded by the circle of blue, which is the love wisdom energy. It is not possible to add more to this beyond pointing out that the quality gained by the adept who treads this path may not be revealed. Well, yet it would be helpful because so many will tread this path, but one could think, you know, about it. Some kind of the rays 2 and 5 might tell us something. Well, you know, luminosity is gained on the first path. We will review these qualities to be gained. Yeah, we'll review them. He comes under the concentrated influence of the energy which is identified with the planetary Antikorana. So he's going to achieve, of course, freedom from the planet, obviously. It is not permitted, therefore, to state what its specific quality may be, as it would convey too much information to the intelligent reader as to the nature and objective of our particular planetary logos. Well, you know, all of this, this may have been given before we were told the major rays of our planetary logos, namely the 1, 2, and 3. So it's via the second ray particularly that we seem to be related to Sirius. And I wonder, you know, we're on the fourth chain right now, so we're not producing so many monastic types of human beings, although we're entering an Aquarian age under the fifth ray and the seventh, so their production will increase. Probably the moon chain group produced more of the monastic types of human beings. And it would be hard to imagine treading the path to Sirius from the moon chain. As a matter of fact, the moon chainers have been transferred to our particular chain, and probably they are among those that are not the bulk, and they are probably not going to tread the path to Sirius. Maybe they'll be more along the ray path line, or some of them along the path of the planetary logoi, perhaps, or even the most monastic of them, and yet the most loving, along the line of the path of magnetic work, where the 2 and the 5 are standing out. Well, in Sirius, the 2 and the 5 stand out. But, you know, you kind of think about this blend of the second ray and fifth ray energies, and we could ask, you know, just to point ourselves in some direction at least, would this be a blend of second and fifth ray energies, providing great luminosity, loving luminosity, love and light. Of course, you know, that is what we have to achieve right here on our planet, this union of love and light. Our planetary logos is one of the beneficent dragons. It's a great dragon of wisdom, and it is occupying the same place in relation to our solar logos as the constellation of the dragon occupies in relation to the one about whom not may be said, which means it's a base of the spine chakra. And it has to be raised to the level of radiance before it can fulfill that function. It's not yet a sacred initiate, not yet a sacred planet. So the attributes, cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss, the source is Sirius via the sun, which veils the zodiacal sign, and maybe at some point we'll learn what this is, you know. Gemini is there, and Leo is there. The hierarchies are veiled by the numbers 14 and 13. So, let's see, of the 17, we find in correspondence with 17, we find the second unmanifested creative hierarchy, Well, we also find the we find the fourth manifested creative hierarchy. That's one. And do I have anything for the second unmanifested creative hierarchy? Okay. Try that. Okay. Second unmanifested creative hierarchy. Second unmanifested creative hierarchy, yes. So we'll try that, and that's the Aries hierarchy. All right. Oh, but the spelling is incorrect, so we try again. Second unmanifested creative hierarchy, and we'll try to spell it right. Second unmanifested creative hierarchy. replace, yes, and okay. And when it comes to the 14, we have the human creative hierarchy. The method, duplex rotary motion and rhythmic dancing upon the square. And this dancing, whatever square it is, whatever square it, no, excuse me, square it may be, that square will be transformed. It rather reminds one of the fourth formula in Dyna 2, where we have the, it's called the sun upon the square. So the rhythmic dancing upon the square will change the rhythms, the frequencies, so that the square will be transformed into the triangle. Let's just say the square must, no, sorry, the square must be transformed into the triangle. Symbol, two wheels of electric fire revolving around an orange cross with an emerald at the center. And, you know, if you think about the school on Venus, and the way we can find that is by going here to esoteric healing and going backwards just a little bit. And here's the Venus school, the school of, five strict grades. This again is a planetary system closely related to ours. Its planetary logos is in a more advanced group of cosmic students than is ours. Most of its hierarchical instructors come from the fifth cosmic plane, and I think what we need here is the school, emeralds, and there's one. And we haven't gotten the entire, here it is. Because we do not have yet a description in the esoteric astrology book. The full description of the schools was not given. Comes from the fifth cosmic plane and our peculiar group of Manasseh Devas. They are each depicted in the archives of our hierarchy as holding a trident of fire surmounted by five green emeralds. So there is a connection, because the fire always has an orange quality. So of the instructors for the school on Venus, they are each depicted in the archives. So this is a treatise on cosmic fire. I've written this out rather extensively in a written form, yes, about the schools, and they are being posted on Makara right now. Interestingly, on Makara, because Makara is directly related to the Venusian creative hierarchy under Capricorn, so the higher part of which, I think, are the solar angels. So a trident of fire, connecting it with Neptune, interestingly enough, because Neptune is the trident, and also with Shiva holding the trident, the fire is orange and the five green emeralds. So here we have the cross, which is compilations. Yes. We have the cross, which is orange, and the emerald center. So there's definitely a connection here between this symbol for Sirius and the emeralds and the trident of the symbol for the school on Venus. All right, I think, you know, that's it there, and certainly it is. We've gone far enough. So this is the end. This is the end. The end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 25B and Passive Fire Evolution Compilation, page 99. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 26A, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 99. Okay, friends, that's going to be it for the moment, and we will get back to it. It seems even though Sirius is a more obscured path in some ways, and very little can be said about it, it seems somehow a little easier to talk about, but maybe that's because I decided not to type so much. I don't know. We may find, however, more obscurity when we get into the rays and the initiations discussion concerning it. Let us see, and we will go on to the rays and the initiations, and also to the archaic stanza which deals with the path to Sirius. See you soon. Bye-bye.